This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Money Moves, VSiN, the sports betting network, kicking off hour two of the program. Thank you to Will Hill and Mike Palm for stopping by in hour one. Remember, if you missed any of the show live, you can always catch Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. So download and subscribe, listen on your own time. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Last thing we were talking about last segment, and I did just want to hit on it real quickly, because the stuff that's going on with the Ottawa Senators is incredible. I know it's a football Friday. We have tons to get to with the CFP semifinal and all the wild card games that are coming up. But the off ice drama that is going on in hockey right now is insane. And the statement that Mike mentioned with Steve Staios, their general manager, coming out, he says this: "Our organization was extremely disappointed to read the completely fabricated and false stories that are spreading around social media about our hockey club. Linus is away from our team for personal reasons, and he has the entire organization's support. We ask that people respect his privacy, but clearly that request was not heard by the lowest forms of trolls and sick people who scour the internet. We are disgusted that outside forces are attempting to disrupt our hockey club. This statement will put an end to the ridiculous speculation that has spread online." Am I wrong in saying, JVT, all that statement makes me want to do is Twitter search what the rumors are? That's all it makes me want to do. That just, you took something that would be insignificant to the public at large and made it huge.
Of course. As I told you, this might reflect, this might land for some folks, but it was the Not Another Teen Movie Big Secret scene, where the guy tells Janie, or it pretends to tell him a big secret, and he tells him, thus it'll cause him to break into a hysterical confession where he actually reveals a big secret, confirming everything I just whispered in your ear.
Pretending to whisper a big secret in your ear.
it's exactly what it is. I had no clue about any of this, and nobody really would have. And the top response is, what rumors? So it's absolutely ridiculous. And look, there are dynamics like this at play in all these locker rooms all the time. And the response to the locker room might not be what you think. I invoke, and we were talking about this off the air, the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin thing, that did not go, I think, the way that people thought. Yeah. A lot of locker rooms actually turned a side eye to Jonathan Martin in that case and kind of airing out some of the things that went out in those locker rooms. And I think something like this, whether it be true or not, that affects a team dynamic until the source of that is probably gone. And like you said, it's a little bit easier said than done. But I would assume if you're the Senators, if this is really a problem, you're going to probably try to look to move him as soon as possible.
Well, and the only thing that is tough about the, like, moving on from it thing is if the rumors are true in that Ullmark did this thing and the wife then spread around all of the other behind-the-scenes business that
He's
the other teammates
pill.
Are doing, but that those relationships are also fractured internally with their own personal lives, so then how does that have an impact on the ice? So I'm in agreement with Mike, at least from the standpoint. Well, and I have to say again, none of this is substantiated, but at least in the short term, there is still a very public distraction going on that they have to deal with, that whether it's opposing team totals over or just fading the Senators seems like something that's very realistic, especially from a goaltending perspective where they cannot get saves to save their life. And I get that they were in a bad spot on the second half of back-to-back yesterday at Colorado, but they get roasted 8-2. And if that's any indication as to what's to come, the Sens are not a bet on team.
Third game in four nights tomorrow against Florida. Then you get Vancouver, who has not been playing well themselves, but still not a great stretch to be on. I'll be curious to see what the market does with them tomorrow, too.
They have dropped. So since all of this came down and Ullmark left the team right after Christmas, they are, 2-5 straight up. Losing the bulk of those, I think, losing all of those games, by the way, all those losses on the puck line.
For what it's worth, Ottawa opens up as a $1.20 favorite over at DraftKings with a total of 6.5 shaded to the under -130 against Florida.
What a time to be alive. Okay, we got lots of football to get to, as we mentioned, but I felt like that just, since we set it up, needed to at least finish the conversation. Wild card weekend upon us. We got 6 games coming up beginning tomorrow. We talked about this yesterday, how many short spreads there are, which is what you want this time of year, the anticipation that we're going to get closely contested, tough, hard-fought playoff games. 4 of the spreads are within 3.5 points. Philly was a 3.5-point favorite. They're bet out all the way to 5.5 now, and whether that's a combination of just people making a stance and saying, I like Philly and think they have the edge in this game, or it's paired with the injury concerns with Trent Williams being questionable. He did get back on the practice field yesterday, which led to some optimism, but then you see some reports that it's still doubtful he's going to be available. Ricky Pearsall, of course, also doubtful in that. The only big favorite that we have this weekend is the Los Angeles Rams, who are laying 10.5 against the Panthers. And I know a lot of people like the revenge angle with LA, but is this number perhaps too big? The Panthers have been so good in bounce back spots. This is a game spread-wise I at least stayed away from.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with Will in that, to me, the side would be late 10 with LA. Also talking about the team total here, let's go back to the game that they played against one another where Carolina wins 31-28. There's a lot of telling signs that the Rams really offensively did whatever they wanted in that game. They had 379 total yards. They averaged 7.4 yards per play. To me, the most damning stat of all in this game, a game in which you ran 51 plays. Stormy, the Rams faced a third down. Do you know how many times in that game they had a third down?
How many?
Five times. That was it. They only had five third downs and a single, and not a single fourth down in that game. They were moving the ball whenever and wherever they wanted. The problem was the turnovers. They have the pick six. They have the other interception in the end zone where it gets batted up and picked off. You get the sack fumble that resulted in a recovery for the Carolina Panthers as well. But they completely and utterly dominated Carolina. It was just the fact that they could not stop turning the ball over. So I think it's a matchup that really works for LA's favor. The question becomes, are you going to be on the field enough? Can Carolina actually command the line of scrimmage? Are their offense going to be good enough? Because they, too, themselves, to give them some credit, they had 358 total yards in that game. They averaged 5.8 yards per play. So I think, for me, the way to do this, and by the way, the high leverage downs, 7 of 15 on third downs, 3 of 3 on fourth downs for Carolina. Two of those fourth downs were touchdowns, which is absolutely insane. I think you can look at this potentially going over the total. I also think the Rams offensively, there was nothing in that game that I think suggested the Rams aren't going to be able to replicate what they did on offense, save for not turn the ball over three times. And I think that leads you to a high score for the Los Angeles Rams here. Whether or not they cover that number or can get over their team total is a question, but I think they can do both.
So I'm in agreement with you. I contemplated the Rams team total, ended up doing the full game total over 45.5 instead because, and I went back to that game that you just referenced, 31-28, the final, Carolina Panthers on top. Aside from that Mike Jackson pick six, the Panthers didn't turn those other turnovers that Matthew Stafford had into points. Like, this score actually could have been even more inflated when all is said and done if their offense did more with the football in those moments. And looking at this Rams defense, I don't know your opinion of the Cardinals, Falcons, Seahawks, and Lions offensively lately, but it's not great to me. And those teams the last 4 weeks of the season averaged 29.75 points per game against the Rams.
Yeah.
So I feel like if Carolina can just find a little something here offensively, we should be able to get over this number, knowing what we think the Rams already are going to do and what a powerhouse they've been offensively, plus getting Devontae Adams back.
Yep, and we should note there is likely some rain, especially the beginning of the game. You're going to have some rain here and a little bit of wind, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that would really deter scoring to a intense degree. Weather-wise, too, I mean, it's going to be in the mid-60s, so it's not going to be like a frozen tundra type game or anything like that, as we know. And the Rams, too, one of the things that the Rams do extremely well, we think about Matt Stafford because he's in contention for most valuable player, but they are a good rushing team. They ran for 152 yards on this Carolina squad. They averaged over 7 yards per rush. They're an elite rushing attack where they're going to generate a lot of their offense from. So even in some inclement conditions, I think you can expect the Rams are going to operate their offense the way they want to.
That's a great note, and I was looking at some Kyron Williams props too. I think that could be another angle if you're trying to get down in a different way aside from the spread or total in this game. Packers-Bears also coming up tomorrow. We've seen the favorites flip a couple times here, but now it seems the Packers have steadily held on to that -1.5 on the road. Have you figured out yet what you're going to do?
I mean, here's the thing. I know what I want to do here. It's just whether or not am I brave enough to do it.
So you want to take the Packers.
Yeah, I think they're the side.
But are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, again, we'll go through this 1,000 times over, but the Bears, every single number screams to you that they just shouldn't be here from a record standpoint. They've only outscored their opponents by 26 points, even though they're 11-6. They're middle of the pack in DVOA. They've gotten away in these single score games time and time again. Will brought it up, the two times they played the Green Bay Packers, the one time in which they didn't cover, the other time they're down by double digits. Then, of course, Jordan Love goes down. They get an onside kick recovery. They get all these things that go in their favor in those contests. And in between, you've had some pretty ugly performances where you get blown. You're not getting blown out. Your defense gets shredded by the 49ers. You have absolutely nothing against the Lions to end the season. I think this reality is they're more like the team they showed in the last 2 weeks than they are this team that has 11 wins, and they have been just kind of barely getting by. I mean, you win a single-score game against the Bengals, the Giants, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Eagles as well. That was a 9-point game, but you can't keep getting on the right side of these coin flips, and I think we kind of know this about Chicago. I've just been too afraid to kind of say it out loud here, so I think the Packers are the side. I understand the injuries, but at some point you would think that this has to expire for Chicago.
But, too, like, Green Bay is going to get some pieces back, and yep. It seems like Jordan Love's healthy. Zach Tom up front is going to be a huge addition back into that lineup. So there's certainly some positives that are working for you from that standpoint. Did you have any feel for the total here at 44.5?
No, I think it leaned a little under. I mean, you talk about familiarity. This is the third time they're playing each other in, 6 weeks or something like that. So I think that familiarity will lead to this potentially being a pretty low-scoring game. We saw, I mean, the passing attack and the offense overall really scuffled against Detroit. And I think you get a similar game to that or the overtime game that they played a few weeks back.
So those are the two games that we have coming up on Saturday. We've got the triple header on Sunday, and then we will close out the wild card weekend on Monday with the Texans and Steelers. Reminder, we talk so much about how fun this time of year is to be a bettor. We've got the NFL. We've got postseason college football going on, the NBA, the NHL, and Boomer Sportsbook has you covered for all of it. Plus, right now, when you use our promo code VSIN250, signing up for Boomer's mobile account, they're going to match that first deposit for you up to $250 in bonus bets. They're also giving -105 prices on all pro football spreads. Download Boomer Sportsbook apps today. You can learn more over at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions do apply. Please bet responsibly. We got to step aside here. Obviously, it is a Football Friday, as we mentioned. We have so much to get into with the Peach Bowl. Obviously, so many more games in the wild card round. But there's also pretty busy NBA Friday card upon us. Lots of college basketball as well. We're going to shift gears into a little bit of hoops coming up next year on Money Moves.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, that laugh you hear, the man to my left, Jonathan Von Tobel. What's so funny?
Shout out to Peter, who tweeted just now. You can tweet us at me, JVT, at Stormy Bonantoni, or email us at moneymoves@vsin.com. Said that you should return your malort. Go Bears.
Oh, can't return something that has been fully consumed.
Yeah, so
look at you.
Sorry, Peter. The bottle's been essentially killed. I think there's one drag left, which maybe I'll take tonight. I hope the Bears pull it off. I would obviously hope that is the case, but everything is staring us in the face that this probably ends against the Green Bay Packers. But as even then, you can hear the pause in my voice. I hope I am wrong.
There's also, real quickly, because we were talking about a little hockey last segment, there's been a lot of stuff going on about the Olympic ice coming up in February in the stadium. And Chris Johnson just posted a little bit ago that they did their first Olympic test event at the arena, and it was delayed for a giant hole in the ice. So,
which they're bringing out a watering can to try to patch, which I guess for some reason I didn't think that's how you fix a hole in the ice. But I was like, oh yeah, that makes
sense.
Water freezes. So, but I thought that was funny.
It's kind of reminiscent, and I don't know if you remember this. Maybe you do because you follow the Golden Knights here in town. But during the COVID season, when they did the outdoor game in Lake Tahoe, and they had to delay the game super late into the night because the sun was melting the ice. They had all these huge divots and holes in the ice that they had to figure out.
I remember that. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was pure slush.
Can't do it.
It was awful.
Can't hold an ice hockey game out here in Nevada. I think it's a little too warm
even
in the winter.
It was insanely beautiful, though, and something that you could never do again because the only reason it worked in COVID was that there wasn't like a crowd,
sure,
really, except for the people that were on their little boats overseeing the golf course. But good times.
Really quick, because we were talking about the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. Worth noting that as of 2 minutes ago, Dontavia Wicks has been downgraded to out for the Green Bay Packers. The official injury report, you mentioned all of the names. Every single one of them except for, let's see, I think I have Zach Tom here as the DNP for Thursday, but seems like everything's still heading in the direction he'll be available. Everybody else a limited participant, and he, Dontavia Wicks, will not play.
Okay, good news there. I mean, not good news, but...
Good news for Packers backers and Packers fans.
News, nonetheless.
Or not good news. You're right, yeah. You got me, too.
We were talking... yesterday a lot about the Trae Young move and him moving on from the Hawks to the Wizards. There is another big name in the NBA that could be on the move reportedly.
Yeah, we got news today. So a couple of teams have stated their intent with some of their players. Will they be moved? Will they not? And it sounds like the Memphis Grizzlies, according to Shams Charania, are going to start to listen to offers on one Ja Morant. So I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world. We know exactly what Ja Morant has been in terms of his lack of availability, his lack of defensive intensity, his inability to play on that end, and frankly, his efficiency dropping off on offense, being nowhere near the player he was on that end since the beginning of his career. So I don't think it's crazy. I've double-checked like three times. It is Shams Charania who has tweeted this out. There is an article up there. So they are entertaining offers on Ja Morant ahead of the trade deadline. And for those who do not remember, it is coming up on February 5th.
So I wanted to bring that up as well as the comments from Giannis, because there had been all of this talk about kind of behind the scenes if Giannis might want out and to move on. But he comes out and makes a public statement that he would never ask for a trade.
I mean,
How much of that is there to believe? Because even though he might not verbally be the one to ask for a trade, there are people that can do that for you.
Yeah, but it's also what are your actions saying? And right now you have, after this year, a year left plus a player option in your contract in Milwaukee. You can sign an extension. Has that happened yet?
Sure.
No, it hasn't. Why? Because he doesn't want to dedicate himself to a team that he doesn't think is going to go anywhere.
So is he thinking that he's just going to let the contract play out and he's going to be a free agent?
No, I think he doesn't want to be the bad guy. I think he wants to keep his pristine image as the guy who saved Milwaukee and brought them a championship.
And gets chicken nuggets and Slurpees and says, wow, America is great.
Correct. I think you're spot on. You're being sarcastic. I think you're spot on. I think he wants to keep that image together while also having his cake and eating it too, and that he wants to go somewhere else. So I think he wants to keep his squeaky clean image. I don't think he wants to ruffle any feathers. Zach Cohen, who does a great job, check out Harvard Handicappers, the podcast, has a bunch of plays up there today. He has brought up, which is a fair point, coming up, can't remember what the deadline is, not the trade deadline, but there's a point where in the future you get access to your first-round picks to trade. I believe they're going to have three first-round picks in the summer to be able to chip off. So maybe that's what he's waiting for. Maybe he's waiting to see if they can go and get another big piece and add to this team. But either way, I think he just wants to maintain his goody-two-shoes image and not be the bad guy. The reality is you've got the ability to sign an extension. That hasn't happened yet. And after next year, you could be an expiring going into next year if you decline your player option to hit the free market. And guess what? Unlike some of these players like Trae Young, who's set to make over $40 million on a player option, his player option's for $62. He's going to find that somewhere if he wants to hit the market. So it's all up to him, but I think he just wants to be – it's Giannis, like you said. I like Slurpees, and I go get chicken nuggets after winning the finals.
Yeah. They are in action today. The Bucks getting 3.5 in L.A. The nightcap tonight, total 229.5. That is one of 10 games on the NBA card tonight. As you mentioned, Zach Cohen does have a full article out. Also, the latest edition of Hardwood Handicappers that he does each day. Any games on the card that really caught your attention?
I mean, we have to, just from a narrative standpoint, go check this out. Now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not going to play today. They're on the road taking on Memphis. We just talked about that, the fact that Ja Morant might be on the block and that they're willing to ship him off. He is already out anyway. He's been missing time. So no Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no Chet Holmgren, no Isaiah Hartenstein, as we know, no Cason Wallace. So this is a pretty thin team here, and we'll see if Alex Caruso is going to play. He's questionable. So Thunder essentially kind of punting on this game from a personnel standpoint. But you still have Jalen Williams out there and some other pieces that are good enough. The question is just with this team. They have been struggling, as we know. They have failed to cover these last three games by a very wide margin. Their shooting has been abysmal, as we've talked about. And their front court right now is very, very thin with Holmgren, Hartenstein, and the other Jalen Williams, big Jalen Williams out. This is going to be a really small group going out there. So you do wonder what this looks like from that standpoint. without Casey Wallace as well, and the lack of size, you think that this is going to be a pretty guard-oriented and fast game. We've seen this kind of get bet down from 233.5 down to 229, but narratively, I'm very curious to see what OKC looks like. But the market's bet them up in a couple of spots. You know, a few spots on the overnight open 3.5 or 4.5 or up to 5.5, but hard not to be attracted to the, not the car wreck, because it hasn't been that bad, but Oklahoma City has been theater right now. They have been failing to cover numbers, and now with everybody sitting, it's a very short number on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies.
How about your Los Angeles Clippers, who have won 7 of their last 9, but brought back down to earth the last couple games? You lose to Boston. Yep. You lose at New York, taking on the Knicks by double digits. They are laying 5.5 today in Brooklyn. What do you think?
This is all about whether Kawhi is going to play today. He's questionable with an ankle injury, so you see this number at 4.5. One would assume, given how good this offense has been over the last 2 or 3 weeks, that if he's going to be out there, they're going to be able. I mean, this is a good litmus test for them. Brooklyn has really turned the corner defensively with the way that they've been playing. And so if you are legitimate, you got smoked by the Celtics, as you mentioned. Having said that, the Celtics have been doing that to everybody over the last month since December 1st. It's the best offense in basketball. But this is going to be a big test for you because, yes, the Nets have been kind of the substart group. But if Kawhi's going to be out there, this is a team that if you fancy yourself at the very least a play-in squad, a playoff team, which I think they can be. By the way, I bet them at 2-1 to make the playoffs. I think that that is something, or this is a game that should be able to answer the question of whether or not you are that team. So very curious to see if they can get it done. Again, I think it's dependent on whether Kawhi plays. Late 4.5, and he plays, probably going to close at about 5.5, but keep an eye on whether or not he's going to be available. And remember, too, the new injury report rules, they're updating these things every 15 minutes, so you do get kind of an idea a little bit earlier now whether or not a guy's going to play.
Yeah, this game did open at 3. It's as high as 5.5 in the market at a couple of books, including DraftKings, but to your point, 4.5 is the prevailing number there. Last couple minutes, anything else?
Well, it's also worth pointing out, so New Orleans and Washington, the trade is official. Trae Young is a member of the Washington Wizards. You asked this question yesterday. I don't think this would shock anybody that follows the league. Trae Young out today for the Washington Wizards. Get used to seeing that. I don't think he's going to play for them.
For people that missed yesterday, can you expand on that?
They have a protected draft pick. Yeah. They need to lose these games. They can't risk it. And so Trae,
and somebody who's been dealing with an injury anyways.
Oh, yeah, you're going to see this. So remember last year, Brandon Ingram had like the worst ankle injury ever. Gets acquired by Toronto, never plays. And then now here, we finally see him this year. Same thing here. Trae's not going to play. They're not going to allow him to do anything. Maybe you see a game. But I would highly doubt that we see Trae Young in a Washington Wizards uniform outside of all of the AI photoshops this season.
All about building toward next year.
I mean, it's the ugly uniforms, too. I mean, they're
hideous. You're really anti those gold ones.
They're disgusting. Have you seen them?
Well, you're a big uniform guy. Yes. I actually even texted you yesterday. I don't typically care about uniforms. You are much more into it than I am. I just loved the look of Ole Miss last night.
Yeah.
Like, I feel even more sad for them that they couldn't get it done because of the look. That blue is sharp.
It's very good. I like it. They're one of the stronger uniforms, I think, in college football. I don't know if, like, top 20, top 50, whatever, but strong uniform.
I know Oregon fans were really upset in the Orange Bowl that there was no green or bright yellow to be found on the, like, black and gray charcoal look that
they
wore.
What are they wearing today?
So, I don't know. I haven't looked to see what it is, but I feel like they've got to have some flair, right?
You have to, especially since you're getting eliminated today.
Oh, shoot, man. Which, that's a good segue. Mike Palm brought it up that we are at 3. Mm-hmm. There's only like a couple shops left that have that hook. So the dog has been getting played. Could that be a good note then for those of you that want to get a better number on Indiana?
Correct.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM channel 158. And listen, before the line moves, sharp play is already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. And the NFL postseason is when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, and locked in on the NFL playoffs, sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before that number disappears. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, insights all delivered straight to your inbox or X feed. And these guys have been doing it since 2011, backing it all up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason at SharpPlays.com. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you, and we are going to continue to dive into our NFL postseason conversation as Wild Card Weekend is officially upon us. We hit on the two games Saturday a little bit earlier, so let's move ahead to the Sunday triple header on deck. Bills and Jags, I think, is one of the more interesting games because, as we brought up with Mike Palm earlier on the program, everybody's talking about Jacksonville and how attractive that 1.5 looks because the feel is that the wrong team is favored, especially with Jacksonville playing this thing at home. Total in this game, 51.5. I know at least for both of us, the Jags are a teaser leg for sure. Their offense has been awesome and they're at home. How do you feel about this matchup big picture with Buffalo?
I mean, I feel like everybody else, I will fully admit that I do think Jacksonville is the side. They have been playing like the best team in football for a very long time now. If you look at them since week 13, Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in the National Football League in many different metrics. The Jacksonville offense is a top five unit in the National Football League over that same span. And for the entirety of the season, Jacksonville's defense has been one of the better units in the NFL. So I think that there's a lot to point to here that would give you the sense that Jacksonville can win this game and maybe even should get the respect of at the very least being favored in this matchup over Buffalo. The gap, I would think, that between these two teams is not such that Buffalo, even in a playoff game, would be favored. And I think that's a fair way to look at this. Having said that, I do think there's one thing we should point to that is going to be pretty interesting in this dynamic. Despite everything we've looked at here with Jacksonville, and I'll rattle off some of the numbers because I keep talking about the stretch since week 13. Trevor Lawrence, second in PFF passing grade. Mm-hmm. 15 touchdowns and one interception. 8.3 yards per attempt on 10.5 average depth of target. Fourth in expected points added and completion percentage expected over expected composite. If you look at Jacksonville overall, fifth in EPA per play. 15th in success rate, little reliance on explosive plays. But what sticks out to me, Stormy, when you look under the hood on all these numbers, since week 13, Jacksonville, they are second in expected points added per dropback. They are 31st on the ground. So they're not really running the ball particularly well. What's Buffalo's biggest weakness?
Run defense.
It's their run defense. Their pass defense has generally been very good. They can rush the passer. They can defend very well on the back end. But they're not particularly great there. So all this to be said, Jacksonville, it's true that all of these metrics point to them being one of the better offenses. But if you can't attack your opponent's biggest weakness, is that why we're barking up the wrong tree here with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's interesting. We also had the conversation yesterday, I believe it was with Jeff Erickson, talking about how when it comes to, from a fantasy perspective and people that are getting into these postseason fantasy leagues, all the talk really is about Buffalo going the farthest in the AFC and the Rams in the NFC. So I thought that was an interesting kind of separation of how maybe the public at large feels about a team like Buffalo versus the betting community that thinks the wrong team is favored in the Jacksonville Jaguars here.
Can I say real quick?
Yeah.
I think you would agree with this too, because I think you're going to use them. I do think for sure Jacksonville has a strong teaser leg.
Yep.
Getting them up.
I paired it with the Steelers.
Okay, yeah. So like getting them there. I know we've talked to a couple of handicappers and bettors on this program itself that they've used 6.5 instead of 6. So getting it up to 8. On a 7.5 as opposed to 8. So there's that angle as well. But I do really feel that regardless of what we're talking about, who should be favored or not in a 1-point spread, I do think that it's a very strong teaser leg to ask Jacksonville to stay inside of either 7.5 or 8 for this game.
Yes, I agree. I think it's going to be a close game. But what I did, I brought them up to the 7.5, and then I paired them with the Steelers up from 3-9 as a home dog in the lowest total game of the week. So.
Sure.
Hopefully that comes to fruition. We shall see. Second game of the day. Oh, good reminder as well for that Buffalo Jags game. JVT and I will be on the air here on VSiN Live Bet Sunday. So we'll be talking through all the live betting angles for that game as it goes, as well as previewing what you're going to see there. The second game of the day later on in the afternoon, 49ers-Eagles. Philly out to 5.5 now, up from the opener of 3.5, total 44.5. Eagles rested their starters to end the regular season. They're getting healthier as well with the expectation Lane Johnson is going to back. Meanwhile, the 49ers, despite overcoming as many injury issues as they have throughout the regular season, could they be catching up to them now with questions about Trent Williams, Ricky Pearsall? We know Tatum Bethune is going to be out for this game. I ended up playing the 49ers.
Okay.
I think this is going to be a close game, and I know everybody thinks the 49ers Cinderella carriage is going to turn into a pumpkin in this one. I'm just not sold on it yet. And I played the under in this game. So I am on board with everything that Will Hill was talking about earlier. The Eagles have a legit defense and an offense that, despite the 49ers' shortcomings on that side of the ball, I'm still not thinking all of a sudden is going to score at will. They have the fifth highest three and out rate in the league. And despite being one of the better teams in the red zone this year, 24th in the NFL in yards per game. They were seventh in that category entering the postseason last year when they go on their run. Both of these offenses are run heavy and don't have great run defenses. For as good as the Eagles defense at large is, against the run is kind of their weakness. And I could see both of these teams kind of having longer, more methodical drives, going and really leaning on their star running backs at Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. And also Will mentioned the wind. It's going to be pretty sustained wind between 15 and 17 miles an hour, gusts up to 28, that could have a little bit of an impact here too. So 49ers with the points and under is how I'm feeling with that game.
Yeah, and we got news a couple minutes ago. Again, another day for practice. So Trent Williams, so that's going to be positive for him as well. I guess I'll call myself Philadelphia curious to an extent. I buy what they are on defense for the most part. And I think, as we've seen all year long, that is good enough to keep them in a lot of these games. My problem obviously becomes you're very average across the board in almost every single metric that you look at here for the Philadelphia Eagles. Having said that, a grandfather went in and did cut your defense up here for a half, at least, on a Monday night that we watched for the Indianapolis Colts. And we've seen some of the weaknesses transpire for this 49ers team defensively. But at the end of the day, 5.5 seems to me for a little bit of a bridge too far. If we were talking about the opening number in that range of 3.5, I think it's fair. But I think asking Philly, given what we know about the hit-or-miss nature of this offense, even against a defense like San Francisco, I have not seen enough that I would have faith here that they could take advantage of an opponent that has been as porous, we'll say, at times, as your 49ers have been.
And I think, too, maybe just a little bit of an overreaction to the recency of what we saw from San Francisco in Week 18. When we say it's a week-to-week league, that means you have to reset your mindset. You can't just follow up with what you saw last weekend happening again. So I think it'll be a better showing at least this time around, even on the road.
I mean, let's be fair too. I mean, look, Seattle probably deserved a little bit better. They had 361 total yards in the game, so like the total yardage was pretty good. 5.4 yards per play is not anything incredible. The 49ers, one of my points here is they performed pretty admirably defensively, like as much as they could, put their best foot forward against Seattle in a game they lost 13-3.
They also have been pretty good on the road this year, won 7-9 away from home, 7-2 straight up and ATS in those games, including covering 4 straight on the road since Brock Purdy has come back. Last game of the Saturday card, Chargers-Patriots, LA getting 3.5 on the road against New England. We both lean Chargers.
Yes, and Dennis tweeted in and said, why is nobody mentioning Hampton's ankle injury? We did earlier. It sounds like Amari.
Twice.
Yeah, Omarion Hampton is going to give it a go here, is what he is telling the media. So we'll see if that is ultimately true, but that is at least the message that he is throwing out there. Look, I think this is really interesting. The standpoint of this is what is going to happen here for the Patriots, who are taking on the best defensive opponent they have faced since Week 8 against Cleveland. This is an L.A. team that is 7th in expected points added per play, 8th in success rate on defense, 9th against the pass, 3rd against the run. You've mentioned their penchant for limiting explosive plays. The Patriots, though, they deserve credit for it. You can say all you want about the schedule. This is statistically the best offense in the National Football League right now by a lot of different metrics. The curious thing here is going to be one of the sneaky things about the Patriots offense, 20th in rush efficiency. They don't really run the ball particularly well, and this is one of the better run defenses in the playoff field right now in the Los Angeles Chargers. So I think the question becomes, if all of a sudden you're working with an offensive line that can't provide any support for you on the ground and a pass rush that can get to Drake May, can the Chargers limit what has been the best passing attack in the NFL? I would think they can. The other question becomes, how does Justin Herbert navigate the pressure that he's been dealing with against a pass rush that, if you look at it from a ranking standpoint, has not really been there from a pass efficiency standpoint in terms of rushing opposing quarterbacks?
Huge game for Justin Herbert to prove himself here, too. 0-2 in the postseason career. Of course, we remember just the calamitous downfall of that game against the Jags, and then he throws a career-worst 4 interceptions in the playoff game last year. So,
no excuses. Come on now. Got to get it done.
We'll see what it looks like.
I hate the narrative stuff. Will said it too. Like, I like to watch some of these narratives die. I do find it incredible that our mainstream media monster, Herbert, does get to skate by with some of the playoff losses under his belt.
People forget it because you blame Brandon Staley and not him.
Sure. Well, Brandon Staley wasn't there last year. He's not there this year.
Lucky.
I'm just saying, you're right.
I'm just saying, there's nowhere there. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of it comes from. The interceptions last year were just remarkable because he hadn't done anything like that all year. Okay, you hear the music. We got to step aside. When we come back, we are wrapping up this Football Friday with our best bets for the Peach Bowl tonight, Wild Card Weekend. We got you covered with everything after this.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
New year, new you. Make your New Year's resolution to have a smarter betting strategy in 2026. You can do that powered by VSiN Pro. Come join us on a full-time basis. You get instant access to everything we do to make more informed bets each and every day. Sign up. You get best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 video, full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all the prop data you might be looking for through the NFL and college football postseason. Get started today for just $9.99, or you can save 50% off with an annual plan. Bet smarter today. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
You were about to say something. And then I cut it off. All right. So
You're not supposed to address that.
I have a stat for you here.
Love it.
It's from Josh Dubow from the Associated Press. Per the NFL's next gen stats, 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy completed 72.6% of passes on in-breaking routes, sixth best in the NFL. And he threw in-breaking routes the second highest rate, 39.8%, to Mac Jones. There's a similarity there, right? In-breaking routes, kind of a common theme for the 49ers. The Eagles, this season, allowed 51.9% completion on in-breaking routes, the lowest mark in 10 years of next-gen stats data.
Bodes well for my under, not as well for my 49ers plus 5.5. See, when you told me a lot of jargon there.
In other words, 49ers throw a lot of in-breaking routes. The Eagles defend them very well.
When you told me in the commercial break you had a great stat for me, here I was so innocently and naively thinking it was going to be something positive for me or something I would actually like. But no, I forgot it's you at the end of the day. I would
throw this out there, though, as I like to say when it comes to betting, the same I think could be said for NFL teams as well. If you know it, they know it. And I have a feeling that the 49ers probably have an idea that they throw a lot of in-breaking routes. And I think the 49ers probably have an idea that the Eagles defend in-breaking routes relatively well.
Well, I guess that leads us to our best bets.
Yeah. Or unless Shanahan like saw that tweet, he's like, whoa, what? I better look at some stuff. Because I don't think that's the
case. I had no idea.
Yeah. we really throw that many?
I do. Like, and I feel very much so like I am on an island with this pick, but I think there's just too much of an overreaction to what we just saw from the 49ers. They had finally started getting a little bit of hype behind them and people like, oh wow, this is really happening. They could really end up with the one seed here over Seattle. And then they just have that no show on offense. Defensively, I actually thought they did a pretty decent job on Seattle, but how much of that is just what we think of Seattle's offense? Yeah. Sam Darnold at this point.
They did almost have 400 total yards.
Points. We're talking about points.
Ah, okay, I got
you. Kept them out of the end zone. That said, I think we're going to see a different mindset in the playoffs. Like I mentioned earlier, the 49ers have been better on the road at times than they have at home since Brock Purdy came back. That offense has been really good a lot more often than it's been as bad as what we saw last Sunday. And I just don't necessarily think that the Eagles are in a position to take as much advantage as people are making it out to be against the defense. I know the 49ers defense is bad. It's not a secret, but the Eagles offense isn't exactly lighting it up every day either. And with how much both of these teams are going to want to run the football, I think that lends toward a slower pace and a lower scoring game. So I'm on the 49ers and under for the game. We'll see how it plays out.
Well, what happened yesterday? You know, we have these graphics and things that are in order that we
mad at you for the Hornets because you led me to believe that they could take advantage and finally win a home game against a bad team. Yet, not only do they not cover the 4.5, they lose and we don't even get a tick up in the win-o-meter. So I hate myself. But we did cash on Miami, lay in the 3. They covered any number for any of you guys out there, although it was a sweat in the fourth quarter. We'll see if we can push that forward to today. I have, since we started this show, talked myself into laying the 3 with Indiana. Since we are just at the flat field goal now, those hooks were getting picked up by people taking the dog. And I think perhaps Indiana might just be a wagon. So That's where I'm going for that. I also mentioned earlier for the Peach Bowl tonight as well, and I know I'm screwing up our graphics people, so apologies. I just want to give out my other bet for that game. De'Aaron Hill stepping up for Jordan Davison, who's going to be out for this game, over 1.5 receptions. It's juiced to high heaven at minus 160. I don't care because I feel that confident that it's going to hit in a game where, as we talked about earlier, a matchup offensively for Dante Moore, where he struggled as much as he did in that first meeting with Indiana because of the pass rush, sacked 6 times. He's running for his life. Ducks average 0.392 EPA per dropback. Excuse me, negative 0.392 EPA per dropback. Their worst showing of the season. I think they're going to want to get the ball out fast, and he's going to be the recipient of that.
I like it. Keep going. You got a whole list.
Just cruise through.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
I don't know in order. Where are these?
I think that the Texans are next. Texans first half.
And I just want to get this out there that I played it. Texans first half, -1.5. Slight juice on the minus 120. I will give you more information on this on Monday when we preview that game.
Trying to thread the needle here, huh?
But the big thing here is that the Steelers are super slow starting. All of their production offensively has really come in clutch time, fourth quarters of a lot of their games. Very slow starting. Meanwhile, Houston has led at the half by at least a field goal in 7 straight games, if not more.
Okay.
So that is at least an angle that I have in that game. I mentioned the 49ers bets +5.5 against the Eagles. Under 45.5. Rams Panthers, we talked about this game at length earlier. I'm on the over 45.5. My teaser for the weekend, Jags bringing them up from the +1.5 to 7.5. The Steelers up to 9.
This is not your teaser of the weekend. This is your teaser of the weekend.
And the big dog.
I'm going to put one together right now.
I wanted to have a little fun. And you and I have done this a couple times where we just tease together every game on the board. Instead of doing the 10-point teaser, I went with the 6.5 so I could get some of those 1.5s up to the full 8. But I have the Rams -4, Bears +8, Jags +8, 49ers +12, Pats +3, and the Texans +3.5. So we're going to have some fun here. 6.5-point teaser for all 6 wildcard games plays 4-1.
Okay, I like it. I'm putting together one for myself. What do we think of? So what do you have? You have Rams -4. Okay, I did that. Let's see. Bears. Yep.
Yep.
Jags.
Yep.
Yep. Eagles. Tease that down. Let's see. Tease the Chargers up. And then we'll go under 44, tease up the total in Texans, Pitts, and Steelers.
Spicy.
Phase 6-1. So we'll play that. Actual best bets for the week, though. Indiana -4, bet that immediately after their game with Alabama. So that's been sitting there, not the best of the number. Rams team total over 28.5 at minus 115 against the Carolina Panthers. Chargers +3.5 against the New England Patriots. And then the Packers-Jags teaser, we also put it relatively early once that was those numbers were out. So Packers +7.5, Jags +7.5, the 6-point teaser for me this coming weekend, as well as the one we just listed.
I just got an endorsement on social media from our guy, Chris Massaro.
Okay.
Said, I like the Niners, # Stormy Island, let's go.
Okay, there we go.
Finally, a vote of confidence.
You and Massaro would get along well, because I believe Massaro is also on the Panthers.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on with us earlier this week when you were not here. Endorsed Carolina. Had a good angle on, Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, please, if you're watching and who you are. The travel angle was a really good one. Obviously, with the Rams, I mean,
having to Monday go coast night, to coast again.
Monday night, then going back, then playing Arizona, then having to go back again. You know, you're on your third cross-country trip in a matter of how many days? 10, 11, 12, whatever it is.
10.5, just it's a lot in an NFL game, let alone an NFL playoff game on the road. But I just stayed away from it.
I mean, Given the way the Panthers can play, you can see a scenario in which it's almost like the first half of last night where you're just bleeding the clock out. You're snapping it with 2 seconds left on the play clock. You're running the ball effectively, and you're keeping Matthew Stafford and the Rams offense off the field. And, I mean, we make this joke all the time, weather reports are all over the place.
Yeah.
You and I have made fun of inclement weather all the time, and then we sit here on Sunday and watch the calmest football game I've ever seen in my life. So I think there's maybe a scenario in which maybe the weather is a lot worse and all of a sudden the Rams can't do what they want to do. Like, I can at least see the scenario playing out for Carolina to stay inside of the number, absolutely. Which is why I'd rather trust the Rams team that it looked like there was no way that you're making adjustments to stop this team, to ask them to go over a team total as opposed to maybe covering a big number.
And they have caused that problem for a lot of defenses, right? Yeah. If there's one unit you really trust on the field come game day, it's that the Rams offense is going to deliver. So I agree with you there. But that's why I took the over in that game. I feel like we're going to get points. And I think Carolina, at least to an extent, was able to have success in a few ways. I think similar to how Carolina wasn't stopping the Rams. The Rams weren't stopping Carolina very much either. So we'll see how that plays out. Any final thoughts for you before we head into the weekend? Or maybe a game that you're not excited to bet, but just excited to watch and see how it plays out?
I'm just seeing if there was any late-breaking news or anything like that. No, I mean, I think Chargers-Patriots has the potential to be the best game of the weekend. I'll say that. I'm very excited to see what that is. One of the other interesting wrinkles of that matchup, too, I was kind of alluding to it, Patriots head into the postseason around 24th in pressure rate defensively. So they weren't a dominant pass rush by any stretch. Your floor is probably raised by facing this offense, but Justin Herbert has been incredible under pressure this year, arguably the best quarterback when dealing with pressure so far this season. So how he negates with his own ability to navigate the pocket a below-average pass rush with his bad offensive line, I think is going to be really fascinating. I'm the most excited for this game here. I think this is going to be a very good game.
Patriots favored by 3.5 at home, total 45.5. That's going to do it for us, but we will be back on the desk coming up Sunday for Live Bet Sunday, so don't miss that. Come hang out with us. You can do the multi-screen action while you're watching the game, get some live betting angles.
And it's a live betting show, so we'll have other sports as well. With only one NFL game, a lot can take focus.
Big ranked-on-ranked college basketball game, actually, as soon as we come on the air. Plenty of NBA. We'll even have some day hockey, so get excited for that. That said, follow the money coming up after this with Mitch and Paul. Enjoy. We'll be right back.